Next subject, nitrogen issues, nitrogen and manure issues. Number three, the total amount of manure produced by livestock in the United States comes to a staggering 1.37 billion tons annually. That's a lot. That is 10,000 pounds for every U.S. citizen, if you can even believe it. That comes, by the way, from a report that came out in the last days of 1997 out of the Senate office of Tom Harkin. And I have references on that, as I do on everything that I state. And if you really, really want a reference, I'm happy to get it for you. Number 13, in the early 20th century, chemists discovered a way to extract nitrogen, i.e. fertilizer, from the atmosphere cheaply and in large quantities. And with this discovery, the human race has not only been able to augment its own numbers by 2 billion, but the numbers of its livestock to disastrous ends. And I might mention that this is lately my favorite reason. And it basically is saying that, you know, because human beings are now able to easily extract nitrogen from the air, that we are now disrupting the planet's nitrogen cycle big time. And it really is the cause of almost all of our environmental problems. Basically, you're taking nitrogen from the air, and the planet Earth has been very stingy, so to speak, about fixing nitrogen. Nitrogen is in the air in great abundance, but plants cannot use it directly. It has to be fixed by either lightning or by bacteria that attach themselves to the roots of legumes. And like I say, the Earth has been very stingy about it, and the entire planet Earth has, all the plant life on planet Earth has evolved using very little nitrogen, little fertilizer. Little amounts of fertilizer is all that, for instance, the life on a coral reef or native prairie plants or basically all the plants and animals across the globe need very little nitrogen. And what's going on here is that when you take nitrogen from the air and you make fertilizer out of it, you know, it's a real quick, fast fix. It does miraculous things in a very short period of time. You can augment the yield from an acre of corn fivefold by putting fertilizer on it. I mean, this is a miracle. This is unbelievable. So human beings, how could they resist doing this? And so you have ratcheted up the whole syndrome, the whole system here. But ultimately, too much nitrogen in the environment is a pollutant. And everything seems to stem from that. Runoff and global warming, acid rain from too much nitrogen and ammonia. And I'm going to continue now. And this whole category of nitrogen issues is all going to stem from these basic facts and this general situation we have since this discovery in the early 20th century, being able to take nitrogen from the air and make basically fertilizer out of it. Number 20. It takes on average 8 times as much fossil fuel energy to produce animal protein as it takes to produce plant protein, with beef and pork being particularly inefficient fossil fuel users, taking 35 and 68 calories of fossil fuel, respectively, to make a single calorie of feedlot beef and factory pork. 56. We are so drugging up our livestock these days that the phenomenon has ushered in an unanticipated environmental menace to our waters. Drug pollution, endocrine disruption for wildlife brought there via the manure from feedlots upstream. 60. To satisfy its lust for animal-based foods, a meat eater requires, I should say, to satisfy his or her lust for animal-based foods, a meat eater requires 20 times the land required by a vegan. And the result? 150, that is the bare minimum these days. I think it's more than that. 150 dead zones around the globe due to fertilizer runoff. Now, suffocating algae results when fertilizers and manure run off from farm operations into the world's bays, estuaries, lakes, gulfs, and seas. One-celled phytoplankton eventually die and fall to the water's floor, where oxygen becomes depleted by the decay. The quote-unquote hypoxia, that's a word to do a search, a Google search on, or oxygen deficit that occurs, is what causes thousands of square miles to become devoid of life. That is, these areas become dead zones, okay? When you're in the midst of one of these vast aquatic graveyards, so to speak, all you see are rotting fish and wilting plant life, and it really smells. It smells like hydrogen sulfide, basically. Hydrogen sulfide smells like rotten eggs, okay? Number 69. Livestock production is responsible for 18% of greenhouse gas emissions measured in CO2 equivalent, a share 38% higher than that emitted by all the world's vehicles. Now, this is the big issue these days. Domesticated animals worldwide are the source of essentially 37% of all human-induced methane, and most of that coming from intestinal fermentation of ruminants. They also are the source of 65% of human-induced nitrous oxide, the great majority from manure. Methane and nitrous oxide are exceedingly, by the way, more potent greenhouse gases than carbon dioxide. Livestock are also behind almost two-thirds of all human-induced ammonia emissions, which contribute significantly to acidification of ecosystems, something you do not want. Which leads me to number 84, gigantic open-air lagoons that are positioned next to factory farms are particularly potent exit portals for ammonia emissions into the environment, as urine and feces from these lagoons, quote-unquote lagoons, that's just a euphemism for a cesspool full of urine and feces, these ammonia emissions volatilize to later rain down their toxic particles on distant waterways, forests, and nitrogen-sensitive plants. So ammonia and methane, these come from animal agriculture from various ways. They come from these massive lagoons, these cesspools. Just emanates into the air. Ammonia also just emanates off of corn crops that are fertilized with these petrochemical fertilizers, these synthetic fertilizers that are made, like I mentioned, from nitrogen, a process that transfers nitrogen in the air into fertilizer. You know, it all comes together, and, you know, Al Gore is not talking about this issue at all, and I'm going to mention a lot more about that in further podcasts. Number 89, neighbors of industrial hog farms tend to regularly experience diarrhea, nosebleeds, earaches, lung burns, chronic sinusitis, asthma, and corroded lungs. And surprisingly, low levels of hydrogen sulfide in particular will actually eat the brain over time. And I have a New York Times article about that phenomenon, which we'll be speaking with about more in the future. Number 100. Fine particulate from the cooking of meat is a significant source of smog with fatty fumes, the kind you smell when you walk past the local chop house, being in the same class of pollutant as diesel emissions, cigarette smoke, and car exhaust. And by the way, Los Angeles restaurants in 1994 were found to emit 33 tons of meat particles into the air every day, equivalent to the hydrocarbons that might be emitted by an oil refinery, or nine times more soot particles than all the region's buses. Next category. Animal drugs and animal disease. Okay, number 18. By some expert assessments, if the current deadly H5N1 strain of bird flu mutates, perhaps just slightly, a resultant pandemic could kill more than 140 million people and put a halt to 4.4 trillion dollars, that's U.S. dollars, in world economic activity, and none of this would have any chance of ever occurring in a vegan world. Number 28. There's a wise saying when it comes to antibiotics: if you use them, you lose them. And yet, according to the Union of Concerned Scientists, about 40% of all antibiotics in the United States are used in animal agriculture, primarily for profit-making purposes, that is, for livestock growth promotion. They basically like their livestock to grow super fast because it's good for the bottom line. But this is a dangerous road people are going down, because you risk antibiotic resistance in the general population and in the general environment. Number 32, just a few quote-unquote mad cows, that is, cattle with bovine spongiform encephalopathy, have been found in the United States since 2003. But, according to mad cow expert Michael Greger, quote, "What is surprising is that we actually found a case of mad cow disease in the United States at all, given the inadequacy of our surveillance program." Number 44, an emerging particularly deadly strain of blue ear disease, a virus that attacks pigs, is currently threatening the Chinese province of Sichuan, home of 55 million pigs. And some say the world now faces a global pandemic of this disease. Now, this is a reason I just found out about a week and a half ago. I never heard of blue ear disease in pigs, but I got to tell you that I would say that every month, just about, I hear about a new livestock disease. Livestock contract diseases all the time, and some of them are dangerous to human beings, not too many. I might say this one is not dangerous to human beings. This pandemic could affect these 55 million pigs. This could mean millions of pigs that will have to be disposed of. Number 57. Now that chronic wasting disease has infected wild deer and elk, hunters have been afraid to eat their kill for fear of ingesting something not so nice and possibly deadly. So the United States is catering to them, these hunters, and is facilitating numerous culls, totaling ultimately some 1 million wild deer and wild elk in the United States alone, to eradicate the disease. And Canada is also eradicating its cattle and deer. And I don't think they have one right to kill one deer in the wild on behalf of hunters, but I guess they see that differently. By the way, the chronic wasting disease is a disease that is similarities to mad cow disease. It's a spongiform encephalopathy, and the disease probably originated on wild game ranches, although they are not shutting down these ranches. They're just going to kill the wildlife. That's how they're going to deal with the problem. Number 65, product directions for bovine growth hormone concede that use of the drug could result in more cases of cow bloat, diarrhea, and mastitis, and a significant amount of pus and bacteria tend to be found in BGH-treated herds and therefore in the milk, according to data gathered by the manufacturer itself. Number 83. A little more than 2,000 pigs, sheep, and cattle were actually afflicted with hoof and mouth disease. Let me repeat that. Just a little more than 2,000 pigs, sheep, and cattle were affected by hoof and mouth disease in England in the outbreak there in spring 2001. But in order to provide a buffer to protect the export trade, no less than 6 million, repeat, 6 million animals were shot and incinerated at a cost of $9 billion equivalent U.S. dollars. And actually, I read a fact about this that it was about twice that. It wasn't even $9 billion. It was like $17 billion or something. You know, look that up for yourself. Billions and billions to eradicate that disease. Okay, next category, nutrition and health. That is human health having to do with nutrition. Number 9, the largest and most exquisitely designed epidemiological study ever conducted, that is the China study, looked at real populations of real human beings going through their real lives in order to find out what actually happens to their health. And this study discovered that the optimal diet of human beings is vegan. Okay? This was the biggest epidemiological study. And it basically said that the optimal diet for human beings is vegan. Number 19. One of the most beneficial things you can eat has no nutrient value whatsoever, has zero calories, and is not absorbed into the body. It is exclusively in plant foods and goes by the name fiber or roughage, if you prefer. Number 37, fruits, veggies, legumes, and whole grains, not meat, are where you find optimal nutrition per calorie, namely abundant vitamins, minerals, antioxidants, phytochemicals, trace nutrients, and fiber. And I ask you, what more do you need? Okay, number 43, cow's milk is not only a suboptimal food in terms of nutrition, it is in fact associated with various cancers, cardiovascular disease, diabetes, a number of allergy-related diseases, osteoporosis, arthritic symptoms, cataracts, asthma, and of course, quote-unquote, lactose intolerance, the last item actually affecting a full 75% of the world's population. And you wonder, how could it be an actual ailment, lactose intolerance? Seems to me you're putting the wrong kind of food into your body if a full 75% of the population have a problem with it. Okay, 48. Apples are associated with inhibiting the growth of colorectal cancer. Avocados lower cholesterol levels. Blueberries are packed with antioxidant power. Flax seeds facilitate proper functioning of nerve cells and cell membranes. Grapes contain anti-inflammatory substances, and nuts nullify unhealthy cravings. Just a few of the advantages of fruits. Carrots. Number 49, carrots are a rich source of beta-carotene. Broccoli keeps damaging free radicals in check. Garlic wards off colds and flu. Greens are rich in vitamin K, a blood clotting agent, and activates at least 3 proteins involved in bone health. Kale helps ward off the onset of macular degeneration. The folic acid in spinach is believed to reduce symptoms of depression. It goes on and on. Just a few of the advantages of vegetables. 67. Established guidelines suggest a healthy diet includes a mere 10 to 15% of calories as protein. And few plants, aside from fruits, provide less than 10%, and many give much, much more than this. And as for protein, protein deficiencies are usually reserved for situations resulting from famine or calorie deprivation. On the other hand, people in Western countries, meat eaters in particular, tend to get far too much protein in their diet. So tell that to all the people who ask you, where do you get your protein? Boy, we hear that a lot, we vegans. Number 71, eating vegetables keeps the brain young, a chorus of research shows, with green leafies, spinach, kale, and collards appearing to be the most beneficial. Number 76, veggies can lower the risk of for teenagers developing high blood pressure later in life, regardless of body weight and salt intake, according to a recent university study. 77. Fish and shellfish contain too much protein, fat, and cholesterol to be healthy, and your DHAs and EPAs can be obtained with sea plants and flax seeds. Now, DHAs and EPAs are very important essential fatty acids. The actual name I can't even pronounce. So you just call them EPAs and DHAs. Very important for vegans to know about these essential fatty acids. And the best way to get them, actually, for the time being, is to eat ground flax seeds, a couple tablespoons every single day, and along with, you know, your B12 supplement. And by the way, of course, fish and shellfish are, you know, loaded with mercury, dioxins, PCBs, and DDT, you know, because, as I mentioned before, all of these kinds of contaminants tend to lodge in the fat of fish, particularly the fatty species, the wild salmon, for instance. In other words, the better a fish is for you, the fish that have all these DHAs and EPAs, those are the fish that also have the contaminants. Number 90, all the major health organizations are officially on board with promoting a more plant-based diet, putting their official stamp of approval on the vegetarian diet, but commercial food and farm interests tend to be so powerful as to drown out the words. Number 96, soy is a healthy, hearty food packed with nutrition. So who needs the cow? Soybeans are used in industrial purposes. In fact, soybeans, all the things that soybeans are used for in industry and in the food industry as well, they seem to match everything that the cow gives you. You know, you can get adhesives, for instance, from the cow, from the hooves, but you can also get adhesives from soybeans, you know. And you can get protein from a cow, and you can also get protein from soybeans. I might mention, though, that there's just too much soy in our foods these days. Processed food manufacturers out there are basically putting it in everything for, you know, extra protein content. And, soybeans are great and everything, but I think that they're overused. And I think that there are other sources of protein that vegans should try and get. You know, rice protein, pea protein, for certain kind of legume proteins there. Hemp protein, you know, is really one of the best